Your season-long fantasy football lineup is locked in and ready for action, but you don't have to wait till Week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test starting Sunday at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where you could kick the season off by winning $2 million. It's the biggest fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's fantasy football on demand. Play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. Then, turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Just pick up your players, pile up the points, and pick up the cash. That's it. You've never experienced football like this. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code SPREAKER to play for free for a shot at $2 million in the Week 1 Millionaire Maker. Enter SPREAKER for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game. Here with me in studio, the personality himself, Weasel Weez. Oh, Stephen Weasel Hurley. Saw you acting up on Twitter a little bit on Sunday there. Good times all the way around. It's the little things I like, you know. Boom. Little things. Yeah, because little things. Because football. That's what it is.
It's like the Seahawks on a 4th-and-1. Just a little thing.
Yeah. Anyways, let's not spoil too much. And something that never spoils the fun, our local hero in from the station at Sumter County, Mr. Chris Rankin. Chris, no fires, no thunderbolts, nothing like that. We're good so far? Knock on wood?
So far, except for internet. No internet.
Yeah.
Not good.
You can handle natural disasters, but when it comes to internet connection, that's where Sumter County's in trouble. Okay, fair enough. Oh, you know, guys, I got to tell you, I love the fact that football season's back. I mean,
it's about time.
It's, you know, I'm saying because football, I don't, you know, I mean, yeah. Anyways, football. Week one beginning with Thursday night. Steelers Patriots. It was actually in New England. Weasel, tell us how the season opened officially.
So, kicked off the 2015 season, but the Patriots at home. They defeated the Steelers 28-21. So for the Steelers, Big Ben Roethlisberger, 26 of 38, 351 yards, one touchdown, one INT, sacked three times. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, acquitted from the four-game suspension, nullified.
Yeah.
So he was an impressive 25 of 32, 288 yards, four touchdowns, no INTs, sacked twice. Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell had it was a two-game suspension for him.
We wanted to run the football, but we didn't have the fragrance. Le'Veon.
So former Carolina Panthers running back D'Angelo Williams, who heard he lost some weight and stuff, and he failed in nicely. 21 carries, 127 yards.
Hey, I don't know if you saw that Patriots defense, but speaking of things that lost weight, that defensive line, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no Wilfork.
Shredded.
So, fullback Will Johnson, 4 for 7, touchdown. Mm-hmm. And for the Patriots, running back Deion Lewis, 15 for 69.
Wait, hold on. Now, for those, this is radio, not TV. So for those who actually saw Weasel QB to make sure I said the 69, that's what I'm talking about. That's the most
making sure.
Crap. Hey, Weasel, what was Deion Lewis's action? What was his numbers?
15 for 69.
All right.
There we go. All right. So
that's football.
So Steelers wide receiver Martavius Bryant. He suspended the first four games of the season.
No.
There's a trend right here. Huh.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Marquise Pouncey isn't
suspended. We'll see.
But he was missing.
You know, he's hurt, yeah.
Yeah, because how many times has Ben sacked? Exactly.
Yep. Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown had 9 catches for 133 yards and a touchdown. Tight end Heath Miller, 8 for 84. Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman, who would have thought, that guy's the number one wide receiver over there. 11, and the guy gets it done, I'm telling you. 11 catches, 97 yards. And people could say he could have been the Super Bowl MVP last year.
I definitely get that argument. Anybody else notice, too, how the Patriots during that game spread out?
their receivers, and oftentimes Edelman would be across from a rookie.
Yeah, yeah.
A guy who they said they called Godzilla because he hits hard. Doesn't matter if Edelman's not in the picture.
Yep, so then that guy, tight end, Rob Gronkowski.
Gronk.
Monster day. 5 catches, 94 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
And granted, he's pretty good anyway, but considering the fact that, you know, on one play at least, he wasn't even covered in the red zone, you know.
Yep.
But Gronk is still amazing.
So
I don't hate on Gronk.
There were a lot of problems with the Steelers' defense. This is their first year in, what, 20, I'd say about 21 years, something like that, 15 years, since they had a different defensive coordinator than Dick LeBeau.
Yeah, and it showed, absolutely.
He went to the Titans.
In one red zone exchange, I don't know if you have this in your notes, and I'm sorry if you do, but in one red zone exchange, the Steelers had only 10 men
on
the field.
Yep, yeah. That happened, and, but a little controversy here. Of course, we're talking about the Patriots. During the first half, Steelers had some problems with their headsets, and such that they were saying they were hearing the Patriots broadcast over it. Now, an NFL rule does state that if one team's having problems, the other has to turn theirs off. There are varying sides that say that the Patriots did turn it off. Others are saying that they didn't. So,
come on.
Now, the NFL comes right out and says, hey, this ain't their fault. It's kind of maybe the NFL. The NFL
well,
thing.
The NFL is responsible for the communication. I mean, if you look at the booth, for example, I guess you would call it the hub, for lack of a better word. You know, it's got Microsoft Surface written all over it as an advertisement, which is great when they're showing a close-up of that while the audio is having technical issues, but I digress.
Yep. So,
yeah, the NFL is responsible for providing that service. That's correct.
And it's not too tough. You know, you got the Patriots, and then, of course, you got to think cheating with Mike Tomlin pretty much was saying that there were problems with it a lot throughout the whole first half. That the other side, it didn't get done until the second half. And so he really complained about the Patriots. So,
yeah, he did not
it
make
was,
it
was pretty bad. It was
feeling.
Like, and NFL representative was walking over, and he went over to the Patriots sideline. It was working then. And then when the guy was walking away from the sideline,
psych,
it stopped working. So, Tomlin's pretty mad about that.
Look,
and
man.
it's just one of those things, because it's like there are teams that in the past, besides the Steelers, that have been complaining about their headsets.
Tony Dungy has said things publicly about it, you know, things like that. But in this instance, guys, see, here's where I am. And look, I'm all about putting responsibility where I think it is. I've referred to the Patriots. I mean, we all know this is Bill Belichick. But if we do that, we are cheaters. No, 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 no. If you cheat and win, you are savvy. But, I mean, guys, on this one, I honestly think the only thing that anyone's a victim of is the Patriots are the victims of just horrible timing. I really don't think. And Weasel's like, I don't know. I really don't think this was that big a deal. And if it was, who cares, okay? Weasel, you saw the game just like I did. You saw the Steelers were out of their bleeping minds on defense, couldn't do anything.
I think a lot of times they were looking towards the sideline.
Correct.
And and there were times where they had, Gronk, he goes in motion and stuff, and goes in motion,
out.
And there's like a linebacker over there. Oh, that's nice. And they're like, what? What do we do? So.
Oh, God. Well, and actually, there was one time where Gronk split out and he was uncovered. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, all the memes with that line from Dodgeball. Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it works out for him. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a conspiracy and the Patriots are hiding, they're doing a good job, because Steelers, you sucked on your own.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm a Patriots fan, I am scared bleepless. Because if it wasn't for Gronk, there is no game. That's right, I said it. Brady didn't impress me. Deal with it. Because, again, terrible defense. Like, I'm pretty sure Robert Griffin III, if he played, could have made these throws. Damn. But he's a safety now, allegedly. Practice squad, whatever. But then on top of that, Gronk tore him apart.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they really had in my field. They spread it out. They're throwing the ball on rookies, doing all that. The Patriots' run defense was terrible before they lost Dominic Easley at defensive tackle. And then D'Angelo Williams just continued to cut and cut and scar them. Yep. If the Steelers' offense didn't make that many mistakes, if the Patriots were not exploiting the fact that they had a backup center on that line, and if they weren't missing Martavius Bryant, and if they weren't missing Le'Veon, this is a different game. They only won by a touchdown in a game they should have been winning by at least two. And I don't think any headset controversy had anything to do with that. Now, if it's like that against the Bills, I don't know if next week's game is in Buffalo or in in Foxborough. I'd have to check. But if it's like that against the Bills, then we can talk. Because I think that game's going to be...
It's in Buffalo this week.
Damn it. Well, the next one. Shut up, Chris. anyways. So, yeah, does that wrap us up for that game, Weasel?
Word.
In that case, let's talk about a game that really didn't matter. It did on paper because Marcus Mariota would face off against Jameis Winston in the battle of the top two quarterbacks of the previous draft. It's the Titans and the Bucks. And, of course, this game would be a contest if the Titans scored one-third as many points. 42-14, the final, as the Titans skate. Something I thought I would never say in my life, the Titans skating. I don't know. 13-16 was Marcus Mariota, 209 yards, 4 touchdowns, looking like an MVP in his first regular season start. Winston completed as many passes as Mariota threw at 16, but he was below 50% as he had 33 attempts, 210 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Look, guys, I mean, the Titans were just all over Winston and company in this game, the way it worked out. Also could not convert on third down. 4 of 9 on third down were the Titans. The Bucks 3 of 14. It's only one game, but I think we're proving the fact that Lovie Smith is and his crew. Hey, I know you all said give him another year, Chris, but I'm just saying, it don't help that he's here this other year. I'm not seeing anything that impresses me. I got to be honest.
Hey, I had him on my hot seat this year, so that's the last year. Give him 2 years or whatever, but I had him on my hot seat starting this year.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't know. Well, maybe you'll have another guy on your hot seat coming up from the teams of this next game here. Browns Jets. Chris.
For the 11th straight year, the Cleveland Browns lost their season opener, and the Jets Jets get their first win under new head coach Todd Bowles in a 31-10 victory. For the Browns, Josh McDown got the start, but late in the first quarter, he scrambled and tried to dive in the end zone, and as he dove, he got hit by 2 Jets players, propelling him in the end zone, and he fumbled the ball out of the end zone for a touchback, and McDown would leave with a concussion.
He may not have gotten the touchdown, but I give him points for effort, but, I mean, I don't know where I stand on him making the dive. I mean, it was a... I guess if he scored, I'd have been like, it's awesome. But since he fumbled it, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where I come at. Did you think it was a smart move, Chris?
Diving that way? No. I mean, so I was watching the replay of it, and the one of the announcers saying he's trying to do his best John Elway impression. But
yeah.
The other announcer goes, John Elway never lost a fumble like that.
Correct. you don't go Elway helicopter unless it's the Super Bowl. I'm forced to agree. I mean, you know, the whole Josh McCown, don't do too much, Chief. Okay, just saying. Now they have to start games with Manziel. Good job. Chris.
Yeah, so next they came in, Weasel's new favorite since Tebow's not in the league, Johnny Manziel. he looked pretty good in the second quarter as he found Travis Benjamin on a 54-yard touchdown pass as Benjamin got behind Antonio Cromartie. Manziel was 13 for 24 for 54%, 182 yards with a touchdown, 1 interception, 2 fumbles. On the Jets side of the ball, Ryan Fitzpatrick was a little shaky at first. What got him going is on his interception. When he threw the interception, he tried hitting Brandon Marshall, but it was intercepted by a rookie. And Brandon Marshall was like, no, that's my ball, and took the ball right back out of the guy inside the 10-yard line.
This was ridiculous.
A couple plays later, the Jets put the ball in. Fitzpatrick ended up 15 for 24 for 179 yards with 2 touchdowns. Both of those touchdowns were to his big receivers, Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. Marshall finished with 6 catches for 62 yards. Difference in the game is red zones. The Browns were 0 for 2. The Jets were 4 for 6. Turnovers, the Browns had 5 turnovers to the Jets 1. And penalties, the Browns had 12 for 109 to the Jets 24 for 30.
Wait, 12 for 109. Hey, Weasel, we have a term for that. That's a lot.
That is a lot. I think after that first touchdown pass for Johnny Manziel, reality set in.
Yeah.
So, and the guy, he's one of his things in college was that he was an electric runner. And the thing is that the guy's got to, you know, he's got to tuck the ball. He's got to learn how to slide and stuff like that. But that's his thing.
See, yeah, that's right. I want electric slide schmack on you. It's electric. What? Actually, no, not really. The only thing that was shocking is the fact that he only fumbled the ball a couple of times. Burn. Chris.
That's it for that game.
Yeah, I mean, because red zone, because turnovers. I mean, how many times does it come down to that? I don't know. Maybe this is another such example. Panthers, Jags, Chris.
Yeah, the battle of defenses. The Panthers came out on top 20-9 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jags had a number of mistakes that cost them the game, like rookie kicker Jason Myers. He missed a 40-yard field goal and then when the score was tied 3-3, and then he missed an extra point that would have tied the game at 10-10 right before the half. Also, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns both had dropped passes.
Yeah.
Hurns lost a fumble in the red zone, and Blake Bortles threw a pick six, which is his fifth of his career. Bortles was 22 for 40 for 183 yards with a touchdown, two INTs. Cam Newton wasn't too much more impressive. He was 18 for 31, 175 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Rookie running back for the Jags, TJ Yeldon, had 12 carries for 51 yards, 4.25 average. And Jonathan Stewart, 18 for 56. Through the air, Rashad Green for the Jags had a touchdown catch. Jericho Cotchery as well for the Panthers had a touchdown catch. Tight end Greg Olsen and rookie receiver Funchess combined 2 for 20. The rookie was 1 for 9, so they were both ineffective against this Jags defense.
Thing about the Greg Olsen's being so unproductive, he was like the number 3 tight end in all of fantasy football.
You think they might see him coming.
So I'm really hoping someone gets like ticked off, and a lot of week one was pretty much people are going to be overreacting. So I'm hoping that guy finds it to the waiver wire.
I also project that a lot of people like, oh, I want to put Mariota on my fantasy team. Good luck with that, kids. Good luck with that.
About the whole Mariota thing. Do y'all want to make a bet of the proper pronunciation?
Yeah, we're past that game. That game sucked, and you're going to bring us back to it? No.
No, just the name.
You want to talk about something that was terrible that actually happened in the game that we're talking about? Ted Ginn dropping a touchdown pass to make it even more spread apart for the Panthers. I'm going to have to call him out, too. There were a lot of drops in that game.
Oops.
And that was, yeah, you were there with me. I think we both shouted,
pretty much, exactly.
See, isn't that more fun than talking about a name's pronunciation?
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're going to hear a lot about that name.
Hey,
so.
Well, get me next week while we're actually talking about a Titans game. It'll actually be more fun than talking about the Titans game. Anyways, speaking of games that weren't as fun as a Titans game, Bengals, Raiders, Weasel.
In a blowout, the Bengals on the road crushed the Raiders 33-13.
Yeah, thanks, Raiders. Yeah. Thanks. All this faith I put.
Yeah. Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton was 25-34, 269 yards.
All right.
Two touchdowns. Raiders second-year quarterback Derek Carr, 7-12, 61 yards. He left the game in the second quarter. It was originally sent. People were saying it was due to a hand injury. Mm-hmm. But what I heard today from NFL radio is that it was a bruised thumb.
So, okay.
If he's going to be back, yeah, possibly. So, backup quarterback Matt McGloin, he was in 23 of 31, 142 yards, two touchdowns, 190, lost a fumble. So, it's a scary thing for the Bengals offense because they were well balanced. You got running back Giovanni Bernard, 8 carries for 63 yards. Running back Jeremy Hill, 19 for 63 and two touchdowns. And Raiders running back Latavius Murray.
And you want to get on to me about pronunciation?
Uh-huh.
He's even a UCF alum. Come on.
11 for 44. So Bengals tight end Tyler Eifert.
That's the story of this game. That
yep.
guy.
A breakout game. 9 catches for 104 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
He was a name last year, but injuries kept him out of the season.
That's correct.
You got Raiders rookie wide receiver Amari Cooper, 5 for 47. Fullback Marcel Reese, 3 for 26 and 2 touchdowns. So kind of something that I'm wondering. It's look at how this game went and preseason. What do you see as Amari Cooper's success? Because the guy is like an AJ Green type thing. He's a talent. So.
Well, I mean, so he opens up. I mean, 5 for 47 in your first game isn't terrible, especially when you spent, you know, what is it? Out of the 43 plays, only 12 of them were from the starter. I mean, that's not terrible. You know, you're going to be pulling a lot of the attention. I mean, I think he and his numbers and Crabtree's numbers were similar. So, you know, I right now, I think people will get less excited about Amari Cooper. I still think he has a shot if he puts up a number of big games. He doesn't have to exactly go Odell Beckham on things. But, you know, now, I mean, as far as rookies so far, I'm probably forgetting somebody, but no rookies performance other than Mariota, and that's purely numbers-wise, is impressive. I'll give Tyrod Taylor perhaps his credit. We'll talk about him later. But, yeah, I think Cooper's biggest problem is he's a receiver. But, Weasel, did you want to break down a little further about the extracurricular activities and close encounter that Mr. Amari Cooper had with one Adam Pac-Man Jones?
Yeah, and like the rookie...
And yes, I'm calling him Pac-Man now.
And the kind of thing like a rookie symposium, I think they've used, maybe it was even this year, but in the past they used Pac-Man Jones as an example of... he did like a lot of dumb things and he regrets all of it, blah, blah, blah. And then... this happens. So you got the play. There was a play that was over. And you have, like, for one of the camera views, you have two players, like, scuffling.
Yeah, it was on a punt or something. And then Cooper and Pac-Man got tied up.
They got tied up. Yeah. And so the next thing you see is Pac-Man Jones pretty much go on top of him, like, slammed him through the ground.
Rips off his
helmet. And, yeah, rips off his helmet. And then so his helmet, you could think of it like kind of in the position of a pillow.
Yeah.
So he pretty much lifted his head, like I guess the shoulders type things, and hit his head, the back of his head, on his own helmet.
Slammed Amari Cooper's head on his helmet.
Yeah.
If the Chargers were playing, I would say, stay classy, San Diego.
So, but, yeah, because that's really terrible, and I could see easily a suspension for that.
Well,
so.
Here's the part that drives me nuts, and if I didn't say it, I'm sure Chris would have. The fact that all that happened was a 15-yard penalty. Okay, forget about the fact that he should have been ejected from the game. I think he should be ejected from the league. That's not acceptable, okay? Because this isn't something where, I'm in Dominican 2 and I kind of stepped on Aaron Rodgers. I can make up a bullcrap reason. No, he wasn't trying to kill a flea on top of Amari Cooper's helmet, okay? It was obvious what was going on there, too, and the attack was on another player's head.
Yeah, it was...
That's a homicidal intent. I could take that to court, I think, in a criminal proceeding and win.
Possibly.
The NFL needs to step the game up and hit and hammer Cooper the way, well... he needs to be. Not Cooper, I'm sorry, Pac-Man, the way he needs to be. If it were up to me, he'd be out the league.
I was watching a college football game, and there was three defensive players going after the quarterback. And there was one of them, he led with his helmet.
Okay.
And he hit him, and I think it was helmet to helmet. And what the college does is that they call it targeting, and yeah, you don't only get a 15-yard penalty or so.
But yeah,
you know, that guy, the guy who does it, gets ejected.
That's correct.
So I was like, huh, what do you know? Because this is like, it wasn't a dirty hit or something like that that's controversial. This was
was an assault.
It was assault, yeah. And so.
I don't know. Pop quiz, suspension for one Adam Pac-Man Jones for his actions against Amari Cooper. Weasel.
I say should be 4 games.
Chris. Is he on mute?
Yeah, I'm going to say they're probably going to give him 2 games.
Wow. You both are way more gentle than me. I think you should be done for the year. And perhaps, I mean, if they decide to bring him back. I don't know. This is pretty egregious to me. But 2 games? Really?
Yeah, well, it's the league. They're they'll try to go a little higher, and then it'll come back down to whatever.
Actually, that's a good point. It's not the league. It's the collective bargaining agreement.
Correct.
Or not? Well, not the original collective bargaining agreement, but the
Association.
Yeah, the redone one since the whole Ray Rice event. I don't know. Whatever. It sucked. See, I'm just going to use the word thug because that was a thug move. Yeah. I have no qualms about that. Anyways. So a pair of teams who you would never accuse of hitting anybody too hard, the Lions and the Chargers. Chris.
The Lions blew a 21-10 halftime lead to follow the Chargers 33-28. Matt Stafford was 19 for 30 for 63%, 246 yards, two touchdowns, two INTs. Stafford's first interception was that he was hit while he was releasing the ball. The ball popped up in the air, and defensive lineman intercepted it. Stafford wasn't the same after that interception. It looked like he hurt his shoulder on that play. Rookie running back Amir Abdullah had seven carries for 50 yards. It's over 7 yards a carry with a touchdown. Tight end Eric Ebron had four for 53 with a touchdown. And also running back Theo Riddick had a touchdown catch.
That run by
If you had Philip Rivers for starting for your fantasy team, you're probably not happy in the first half. But all his numbers came in the second half, and you know why? The Lions secondary. Philip Rivers was 35 for 42, 83%, 404 yards, two touchdowns, two INTs. One of those INTs was a pick six by the corner safety Glover Quinn.
So it's his percentage is even higher then, because that's just a completed pass to the other team, right?
Correct. So if he had his two interceptions in that, he'd be 37 for 42. That would be 88%.
Boom!
Plus the interception was a good distance too, so it was like probably 420-something yards.
Anyways.
Receiver Keenan Allen had 15 catches for 166 yards. Newly acquired Stevie Johnson this year, 6 for 82 with a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And tight end Ladarius Green filling in for Antonio Gates had 5 catches for 74 yards with a touchdown. Rookie Melvin Gordon for the Chargers had 14 carries for 51 yards, but lost the fumble. And Danny Woodhead had 2 rushing touchdowns. Difference in the game besides the Lions' pitiful secondary was the Chargers' time of possession. They had 38 minutes to the Lions' 22. Also, third down percentage, the Lions were 3 for 10, which is 30%, to the Chargers 6 for 11, which was 54%.
Maybe it was because of the bad secondary that they had all that going on.
All right, question.
Bring it, Weasel.
So you got Lions Abdullah versus the Chargers Melvin Gordon. Who do you see having the better rookie year?
Well, right now,
Amir Abdullah.
Yeah, right now, because I had a lot of fun watching him fake Eric Weddle out of his shoes, showing exactly how overrated he is as a safety. I'm going to say Amir Abdullah, but I'm going to say Abdullah on the strength of his schedule, because the Broncos defense is no joke. The Chiefs' defense is no joke, and he's got to see them in 4 games. So that's going to be tough. I'm not so worried about him seeing the Raiders' defense at this point. I may have been before week 1, but now I'm really not. So, yeah, because disappointment. I don't know. Speaking of things that started out disappointing, depending on who you were, the Giants – and the Cowboys. We still made this face.
Ooh, jeez.
Giants, Cowboys. Chris.
And in an NFC East showdown, the Cowboys came from behind to beat the Giants 27-26 on a last-minute touchdown pass from Tony Romo to tight end Jason Witten. Witten ended the game with 8 catches for 60 yards and 2 touchdowns, and this loss was Eli Manning's fault, not Tony Romo's. More on that later. The Cowboys' running game led the league last year, and with the departure of DeMarco Murray, was ineffective as the team rushed 22 times for 80 yards. The Giants seemed to be much better as they were combined 24 carries for 99 yards. Tony Romo was 36 for 45, 356 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. Both of those INTs went off the hands of the receivers. One was off of Jason Witten's hands, which was kind of a little thrown behind him.
Yep.
But then the second one hit his receiver in stride and just bounced right off of him.
Which, by the way, third touchdown on the night for Tony Romo.
Eli Manning was 20 for 36 for 193 yards. It's basically the Giants team was outplayed. The only reason why this game was close was the Giants D causing turnovers, two interceptions. One was returned to the 1 yard line. And then also Cole Beasley was fumbled the ball, and Dominic Rogers Cromartie returned to 57 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah. I know you're a Giants guy, but I wouldn't even say that it was anything about the Giants forcing turnovers. The Cowboys just made bad plays. The passing game for anybody who was a skill position player seems like somebody at some point screwed up. Dez Bryant even dropped the pass that was in there in that was a pretty easy shot in the red zone. We mentioned Jason Witten, who had the ball thrown behind him, but he also only reached for it with one hand. I kind of felt like if he reached out with both hands, because it was in his capacity to do so, it seemed, that would have been a prevented interception. He got his two touchdowns back, so I'm okay with that. Cole Beasley, what he did was just unexcusable. Terrence Williams had a drop at one point that could have been something better. But that O-line, oh my God. Anyways, Chris.
Yeah, the Giants offense wasn't anything spectacular yesterday. They were 1 for 4 in the red zone. Cowboys were 3 for 5. Also, the Cowboys had 15 more minutes in time of possession. But at the end of the game, with a minute 44 left, the Giants were up 23-20, and the Giants were faced with a 3rd and 1 at the Cowboys' 1 yard line, and the Cowboys had no timeouts left. The Giants, instead of trying to run the ball, called for a play-action pass, and Eli, instead of taking a sack, he threw the ball through the end zone to stop the clock.
Oops.
The Giants kicked the field goal to go up by 6 and gave the Cowboys the ball with a minute 37 left in the game, and they came down and drove, and they scored with 7 seconds left.
So let me ask you this, Chris. So if Eli takes the sack, and let's say they get like 1st and 88, you know, that they got to go down the field in 57 seconds. Do you think that changes the outcome of the game?
I believe it does, because I mean the Cowboys had no timeouts left. So I mean, to get down the field, they had to go down the field in, it was a minute 37, so it took them 90 seconds to go down the field.
Mm-hmm.
You take off another 40, that's 50 seconds mm-hmm. for them to go down the field. It's different little balls with the defense, because a lot of Tony Romo's passes was a check down to the running back who got some yards.
Correct. All three running backs.
Lance Dunbar had 60 yards receiving, and 40 of them came on that last drive.
Yeah. And 40 yards, I keep saying 40. All three running backs, huge in the passing game. And by that point in the fourth quarter, Dez Bryant, also not a factor, trying to throw the ball down the field because he left the game with a broken foot. I'm with you, Chris. I think that small play made a difference. But in New York, Chris, there is no such thing as Eli Manning's fault. You know who it is that actually gets blamed?
Yeah, Tom Coughlin.
Tom Coughlin, damn right.
Right.
Weasel's nodding his head.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Chris.
Well, even if it was 3rd and 1, you're up by 3. 3rd and 1, you run the ball, you score a touchdown, you're up by 10. That's 2 possessions. The Cowboys still have no timeouts left.
That's right. That's right.
So even if you tried running the ball and you got stuffed at the 2 yard line and 1 yard line, you waste those 40 seconds. I still don't think I would kick a field goal right there, or you still have a timeout left. You know, you bring that down to it, call timeout, and then try to go for it. Then they have, you know, what, 47 seconds to go 99 yards to kick, you know, or take away like 50 of them.
57.
So, you know,
I see what you're saying.
They
yeah.
have 35 seconds to go 50 yards
yeah.
from their 1 yard line. Oh, by the way, the Giants defense is going to press you coming up. Yeah, because you're right there in the end zone.
Maybe. So, and no Dez Bryant for the Cowboys as well. It's an interesting point. Weasel.
So you got a former Jaguars running back, Rashad Jennings.
Very good.
He was told by his coaches that. Hey, they told him not to score a touchdown. It's like, so That's something that makes this kind of look even worse. So,
well, I mean,
it's a one possession game is one thing, but making it a two possession game with like what a minute left or so.
I'm with you too, Weasel. Well, I'll put it this way: a play action pass isn't a play action pass is not a bad play call here, because they're probably thinking you're going to run the football because it's the prudent move to do to run the clock and all like that.
Yep.
And you have to do the very thing you have to do is prevent it from being a two score game. And Eli Manning not taking the sack, difference maker there. Absolutely.
Just one memory lapse and that's what happens.
Did he actually aim for a target, or did he just throw it out of the end zone?
He threw it in the end zone. There was a receiver close to it.
So that's just utterly stupid. But it's Tom Coughlin's fault.
I mean, even on third down, you know, you're trying to run the ball with Jennings and everything like that. Just try, you know, give the ball to your fullback. Throw him off. That fullback's hitting the hole quicker than your running back is.
Maybe.
You know, on third and one. If he gets stopped there, oh, well, you know, maybe he'll fall forward in the end zone touchdown. If not, 40 seconds go off the clock. Fourth and one. So let the clock go down, call timeout, decide what you want to do. If you want to kick a field goal, go only up by six, or, you know, just go for it. You know, you got to have balls in this league to freaking go for it.
It's boom. Somebody... But not deflated ones.
No. So especially on how bad you do in the red zone and how bad the last couple of years you've done in the red zone. You need to just go for it. I mean, they're 1-for-4 in the red zone. I mean, it's the red zone's every year, it's like they're getting worse.
Weasel.
So there's
seven field goals instead of just trying to go for it.
Weasel.
There's a guy who's on from ESPN, I guess, Dan Graziano.
Okay.
And one of his tweets, just spoke with Giants running back Rashad Jennings, who confirms that he was told in the huddle before first and second down, Rashad, don't score.
Don't score the touchdown.
So
in that a hell of a note, they're afraid of Tony Romo. Like during that game, Romo would call out who was going to blitz and who was going to be open in the huddle. Like you could hear him over the microphones in the broadcast, how he knows what the defense is doing before the defense knows what the defense is doing. It's kind of scary in some instances. I'm surprised they haven't accused him of cheating yet, but joking. It's a headset joke. Hashtag communicate. Okay.
That's my favorite one right there.
Communicate. That is a damn good hashtag. It's crap, but it's funny. I gotta admit it's clever.
Creative. Yes.
Yes. But the other stuff I want to drop, because that O-line of the Cowboys, Tony, the opening drive is 10.5 minutes. And in the first half, the total time of possession for the Giants, 8 minutes. That's ridiculous.
That's controlling the clock.
Boom. If the Giants had won that game, the trivia I would have had, the other quarterback we know who won a game in such a fashion is Peyton Manning. Against what team did he have a situation where he was down 15 minutes or more in time of possession versus anybody?
Dolphins.
The Dolphins. Very good, Chris. Chad Henne and Ronnie Brown with the Wildcat offense, Ricky Williams and company. But who cares, because Eli Manning lost that game. Not even worry about it. We're going to go ahead and go to break. We'll give you the rest of Sunday's action and the study hall when we come back. You're listening to NGSC Sports. This is the Student of the Game.
Your season-long fantasy football lineup is locked in and ready for action, but you don't have to wait till Week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test starting Sunday at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where you could kick the season off by winning $2 million. It's the biggest fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's fantasy football on demand. Play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. Then, turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Just pick up your players, pile up the points, and pick up the cash. That's it. You've never experienced football like this. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code Spreaker to play for free for a shot at $2 million in the Week 1 Millionaire Maker. Enter Spreaker for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. We'll be right back.
So I'm coming back in here, and I'm talking with these guys in studio, and here comes Weasel with the Mariota thing, or the Mariota thing, or whatever the hell it is that neither of us really seem to care about too much unless you're named, you know, Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel Weez!
Yeah, boy!
Nicely done. But, okay, so now you're over here during the break. Trying to, what it, you're setting up, what's the terms of this bet you're trying to set here?
The terms of the bet is, I am saying that the correct pronunciation, Mariota, and your pronunciation is Mariota.
You mean our, because Chris and I.
Yeah, can, both
you
know, yours.
Mariota.
So, hearing that, we'll, whenever it is, whenever we got a pretty solid idea of what the actual name pronunciation is, I'm betting that for we go to Ale House usually on Sundays, Ale House Orlando. It's the home of the Zingers.
They're not paying us, Weasel. We don't do that crap. But,
yeah. So what I'm betting is one lunch/dinner entree for the correct pronunciation.
You still haven't set the term, though. I mean, okay, based on
is
what?
Mar versus Mayor.
What's your source? Because you know you've heard it both
ways. My source is Marcus Mariota.
Your source is something you pulled up on your phone.
Yeah.
That's probably been photoshopped, hacked, and sharked and all these different.
Why would it be photoshopped?
I don't know. I pulled that out of the sky. Oh,
yeah.
This is a guy. Hey, see, now this is how I'm going to mess with him because he's talking this crap. Hey, Weasel, remember that old, I think he was Hawaiian tight end for the Patriots?
Yeah, Lalee.
Say his name. No. No, that's the old receiver for the Broncos, Ashley Lalee. No, no. I'm glad you could say it now, by the way. No. Yeah. H-O-O-M-A-N-U. Yeah, him.
Yeah, no. I ain't messed with that one.
Humanu Wainui. Okay. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Right, exactly. Okay. And then there's the former Steeler running back, Chris.
Tuamatu-ma'afala.
That's right. And there's that running back for the Carolina Panthers a decade and a half ago now, Tim Panaka-Patuka. Hell, I said a name earlier that you couldn't even get right. And you think Mariota is going to win you? Get out of my face.
Hey, it's like, do you want to – people could look at him and be like, the guy's like he's mispronouncing it. It's like
I'll put it to you this way, Weasel. This year, you're better off betting a chicken nacho on the Vikings than you are with –
Hey, it's funny your words like legit. The Vikings, that is so.
Yeah, hey, see, that's why I made that joke because you've lost a chicken nacho on the Vikings being illegit.
Yeah,
illegit. So quit. No one's gonna get that unless they're our age.
Yeah.
Anyways, segue aside. Well, yeah. Speaking of something that's as disappointing as Weasel's disrespect for my name pronunciation. I had to say it. Something is just disappointing that was a Texans at the quarterback position going out and hosting the Chiefs in their 27-20 loss. Now, I don't know how many of you saw Hard Knocks. I haven't seen all of it yet. No spoilers, please. But the very first thing he says to open the show is, I'm getting sick of our quarterback position being disrespected. Okay, here's why. Brian Hoyer benched. 18 for 34, 236 yards with a fumble. He did have a touchdown and an interception as well. Replaced by other former Patriot backup Ryan Mallett. 8 for 13, 98 yards and a touchdown. Alex Smith, looking like a bleeping folk hero. I don't know how the Texans defense allowed this. 22 for 33, 243 yards with 3 touchdowns. Oh, they also have Jeremy Maclin on the roster now. So guess what? It just doesn't matter. The streak lives on. Week number 18. No touchdowns.
That is true.
To a wide receiver. I don't care if they have Jeremy Maclin. Travis Kelce going insane on people's fantasy teams. 6 catches, 106 yards. 2 touchdowns, including I think it was a 50-something yarder. Whatever. Nate Washington doing work. 6 catches for 105 yards. Outperforming DeAndre Hopkins. 9 for 98 with 2 touchdowns. Of course, Hopkins had a horrible drop pass during the game as well. Yeah, at the end of the day, guys, I mean, the red zone was a factor. 2 for 3 were the Chiefs. 2 for 4 were the Texans. Chiefs had 5 sacks to the Texans, too. Of course, Both the two sacks were by one. J.J. Watt. As he, and one of them, while he got his helmet ripped off when the offensive lineman was face-masking the ever-loving bleep out of him. Where's my man crush music? I don't care. When you get your helmet ripped off and you still get a sack, you are the man.
That's true.
I don't care what your name is. It helps if it is J.J. Watt, though. Anyways, Packers, Bears, Weasel, go.
All right, so in a bitter division rival matchup, the Packers defeated the Bears 31-23.
Okay, so is anybody impressed that the game was this close? Huh? I mean, I know your wife was cheering hard as a fan, but honestly, when I saw that it was only a one-score difference, I am happy for Bears fans.
It's I think one thing to note in here was that the Bears, they were down their number one, their first-round pick, Kevin White. And he was about the eighth overall pick. And so if then people say, oh, but the Packers, they were out Jordy Nelson.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the guy got the ACL tear.
Right.
And so both teams, their top wide receiver type of thing, or one of their top wide receivers.
I was about to say, let's be careful.
Alshon Jeffrey, he's good.
He's kind of
he's
a
pretty
big
good.
Deal. Yeah.
So, but they were both down they primary down, wide receivers.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
They're down significant weapons. I'll meet you in the middle on that.
So you got Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, 18 of 23, 189 yards, and three touchdowns. He had also scrambles, eight times, 35 yards. Bears Jay Cutler, $100 million quarterback. Yeah. 18 of 36, 225 yards, one touchdown, 190. He had four scrambles for 31 yards, and he was sacked twice. Packers running back Eddie Lacy had 19 carries for 85 yards and a touchdown. Bears running back Matt Forte, getting up there in age, but he did have an impressive showing.
Yeah.
24 carries, 141 yards, and a touchdown. Also, in the air, he had five catches for 25 yards. Pretty darn
business.
Good.
Business.
So, without Jordy Nelson, they picked up one James Jones, who was about, say, about 3-4 years. Or he's been with the Packers before.
I would argue reacquired. So he left and then tried to go with the
he was with the Raiders some.
Yeah, and that didn't really work
out. Yeah, I think he got paid a little bit of money.
And they were
so.
Talking about him maybe with the Giants. That really didn't work out.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, he's back home.
And they didn't miss a step. So he had four catches for 51 yards and two touchdowns. Their second-year wide receiver, Devontae Adams, 4 for 59. And Randall Cobb had 5 for 38 and a touchdown. So Bears wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey, 5 for 78. Tight end Martellus Bennett.
Martellus Bennett. Not Marcellus Wallace.
He had 5 for 55 and a touchdown. Now, one of the defining moments in the game was in the mid-fourth quarter. Bears were down 24-16, one possession. Well, they failed on a fourth and goal at the one-yard line. And the thing about it was that Cutler just overthrew Eddie Royal, like, big time. It was uncatchable, and it was like, I mean, yeah, you don't want to maybe throw an interception, but the thing is it's fourth down, so Packers got the ball. Now, with about 4 minutes remaining, they still had a chance to go. So Cutler threw a Farbish INT to Packers linebacker Clay Matthews.
And Packers fans everywhere know the joy of the opposing quarterback throwing an interception to ruin a game for you.
Yep.
They've never known it before because they're usually the ones who were in pain by it because Brett Favre.
Yeah.
I said it. What are you going to do?
He
career
was...
interceptions record holder. Okay, carry on.
Matthews did return at 48 yards, and that did lead to a Packers touchdown.
So, I mean, you know, the Bears had an opportunity to win the football game.
Yeah.
I know that people are going to be
frustrated. They had their chances, yeah.
I mean, Chris, did you expect this game to be close? Just so I could be taken out of it here as a Farvian hater. I don't know why that's still relevant, but I mean, this game was closer than you thought it would be, right?
Oh, it was a lot closer than I thought it would be, especially how many points the Packers put up last year. They put up like 93 points against the Bears last year.
I mean,
two times they play against.
So that's in two games, but it felt like in some games that they were about to break 93 in the middle of them. You know, I mean, the red zone was a factor here. The Packers were 4 for 5 to the Bears 1 for 3. But at the end of the day, I mean, because interceptions, I'm just going to call it what it is. You know. Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't a deciding factor in the game. It was the ending factor in the game. The Bears had their shots. But hey, Bears fans, you know, there's hope. I don't remember what the matchup is next week, but we'll go over it in the study hall, I'm sure. Speaking of matchups that completely baffled people, well, unless you're Chris, but then it baffled Chris too. Whatever. Colts Bills. Tell us about it, Chris.
Hey, Rex Ryan making his Buffalo Bills debut as new head coach has team fired up, and they would go on to shut down the high-powered Indianapolis Colts offense 27-14. But the game wasn't that close, as it was 24-0 midway through the third quarter.
I got nothing.
As I mentioned, what was that?
I got nothing. I can't even answer for that.
This is kind of like the where you have the pick 'em league. It's where you pick a team, and then if they win, you get to you can't just pick them in a following week. Elimination.
It's a survival
like that.
League. Survival league, it's called elimination too. But yeah, survival league.
This game on paper, it was like the Colts Super Bowl contenders. Then you got the Bills, who are usually disoriented.
I didn't pick the Colts for the Super Bowl. I'm the only one who didn't pick the
I'm
Colts
just saying
for
that,
the Super Bowl.
I'm just saying that the thing is for an elimination game,
oh yeah,
a lot of people are out week one.
A lot of people got pissed. I mean, you know, I managed to sneak by in mine. We haven't done it yet. But yeah, a lot of people got pissed by the Colts and the Bills. I know that I think at least one, if not two, had a loss in my league at work. So I'm just saying. Chris.
Yeah, so as I was mentioning, the high-powered offense for the Colts wasn't working. Andrew Luck was 26-49, 53%, 243 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. He was sacked twice. Frank Gore making his debut for the Colts had 8 carries for 31 yards. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's almost 4 yards a carry right there. Andre Johnson, 4 catches for 24 yards. T.Y. Hilton had 7 for 88, but he left the game with a knee injury. Comes out, it's just a knee bruise, so he's going to be missing 2 to 4 weeks. That wide receiver Dante Moncrief and tight end Dwayne Allen both had the touchdown catches late in the second half when it didn't really matter. For the Bills, Tyrod Taylor got the start for a QB, and he was affected with his arm and his feet as he was 14 for 19, 74%, 195 yards with a touchdown. He also had 9 rushes for 41 yards. And Rex Ryan's way is ground and pound. LeSean McCoy had 17 for 41. Rookie Carlos Williams had 6 for 55 with a touchdown, and Anthony Dixon had a touchdown run. Percy Harvin had a 51-yard touchdown catch, ended with 3 for 79. Mm-hmm. Difference in the game really was the turnovers, 3 for the Colts, none for the Bills. The third turnover by the Colts was a muffed punt, which led to the touchdown that made it 24-0.
Yeah, and when it came to that, like, Weasel was still looking at the TV going, there's a chance. Luck may still put out the fire, you know. And then that muffed punt happened, and, like, all the wind went out the sail. It was pretty disgusting. But, I mean, you know, you mentioned Frank Gore going 8 for 31. The Colts as a team on the ground, I think, only ran the ball, like, 17 times and had 64 yards. That's not a bad number. It's just short of 5 yards a carry. I feel like they abandoned the run too soon. Luck did not necessarily have to throw the ball 50 times in this game, in my view, unless they were that afraid of Marcel Darius. I really don't know. I mean, if they were, fine, I don't blame them. I mean, they got a good... I feel like they were going in to throw the ball no matter what and damn the torpedoes. But being said, I guess their game plan also didn't include Luck throwing 2 interceptions. Also, interesting note, Percy Harvin's 51-yard touchdown catch, more than 25% of the passing yardage in the game for the Bills. Tyrod Taylor, look, pop quiz, guys, would you call Tyrod Taylor a solid game manager in this game?
I would say, and when you said in this game, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Most definitely.
Chris?
I said yes in this game, but, I mean, he fits Rex Ryan's offense. Look at what Rex Ryan did with the Jets those first couple years he was there, making it a conference championship.
Mm-hmm.
These Bills have a chance with how good their defense is and him not abandoning the run and using that committee there that he has. I mean, you just need someone that's going to be smart with the ball. I mean, he was 74%. I mean, he only attempted 19 passes.
Right. And if you're able to do that, if you have a team that's weak defending the run, Tyrod Taylor's putting a chance to succeed. He's not going to necessarily put up 27 points, but I think treating him like a game manager as he is, we have no way to know whether he's less or more mistake prone than Mark Sanchez was with the Jets, but it's a concept. Weasel, I saw you leaning forward there.
One thing about the Bills offense right now, it's like they did have a trade. They traded for McCoy.
LeSean McCoy.
And the thing about their offense, like especially as it was shown in this game, is that they have like four or five, I would say like four running backs that have kind of different skill sets. And a lot of everyone was producing.
A committee, if you will.
Yeah. Usually the running back by committee, two running backs, they were throwing out all these different names. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay.
Even bigger committee than the Cowboys on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Cowboys had two or three. But just there was so much difference.
Yeah. Dunbar.
Randall.
Yeah, thank you. Randall and, of course, McFadden. So, and I didn't even see a Christy Michael sighting or anything like that yet, too. So, at any rate, I mean, you look, committee systems are the way to go. I'm a fan of them in general. And the Bills used it masterfully. And the Colts never really tested if Kinko Alonso is going to be a difference with that linebacker core because they threw the ball so darn much. So it's a very interesting concept. I have become intrigued by the Bills. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid like Chris is with them making the playoffs and all that just yet. But interesting concept. Weasel.
I think that the feel of the team would be a lot different if E.J. Manuel, he was, I think he was drafted, what, 3 or 4 years ago? I'd say about three.
This would be his third year.
Yeah. I think the whole team, outlook of their offense would be completely different with them. But what they have, the thing that's good about Tyrod is that he's a game manager and stuff. But the thing is, him with his running ability, I think it's like scramble for first downs.
And it's not like he didn't throw a big ball. That ball to Harvin was nicely played.
Oh yeah, most definitely. So he's he can beat you with the feet too. So all I was saying, I think the guy can have a good season and all. It's just he has to be smart about the running. Like slide, go out of bounds.
Not slide. Slide.
Yeah.
See, that's another music drop you just made. And no one's gonna get in unless they're our age. Anyway.
Pretty much, yeah.
So at any rate, yeah, the Bills shocked the world. And something else that almost shocked the world and almost got me pissed in my survival league, the Finns taking on the Skins. So the Skins came out pretty flat, kind of deflated, if you will, but still managed to pull away with the game, holding on 17-10. The problem for the Dolphins, running defense. Why do I think that? Very simple. Alfred Morris, 25 carries, 121 yards. Lamar Miller did do some groundwork for the Finns as well, but not as much. 13 carries, 53 yards, about 4 yards a carry. But it's not as much as Alfred Morris for 25 carries and 121 yards. Probably the single best performance he's had since his rookie year. Kirk Cousins went 21 for 31, 196 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions. Certainly the difference in the battle game. Ryan Tannehill had a fumble on his 22 for 34 day, but he also threw a touchdown and went 226 yards in the air passing. Rashard Matthews, the receiver who caught the ball. Jordan Cameron, the new acquisition at tight end, led the receiver core, the receiving yards, I should say, 4 catches, 73 yards. Jarvis Landry, getting busy, had a return for a touchdown, and also had 8 catches on the day for 53 yards. The Dolphins' defense disappointed mightily in this game. The running game was what kept the Skins in it. And kept the Skins controlling the clock and the flow of the game. But I'll give the Finns credit in the past when this sort of thing occurred. I don't think they would have had the testicular fortitude, if you will, to actually continue to pull out the win. But yeah, while Chris is feeling better about his pick for the Bills making the playoffs, I'm leaving myself in the dark corner crying, questioning my pick of the Miami Dolphins in the playoffs. I'm just saying. Anyways, Chris, Saints Cardinals.
I got this.
Cardinals wasn't me.
I got this.
Okay, my bad. Weasel, Saints Cardinals.
All right, so Cardinals quarterback Carson Palmer's return from last year's season-ending injury was big for him, as the Cardinals defeated the Saints 31-19.
7-0 at home when Carson Palmer's at the helm in the past seven games.
Yeah, protect the guy.
Boom.
So Palmer was 19-32, 307 yards, three touchdowns, no INTs. Saints quarterback Drew Brees, 30-48, 355 yards, one touchdown, one INT, sacked twice, 48 attempts. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Considering they went to all the trouble to revamp their offense to try to make it more balanced, and then they throw the ball 48 times.
Yep. Cardinals running back Andre Ellington had 12 carries for 69 yards.
All right.
And a touchdown. Unfortunately, the guy may miss 1 to 3 weeks with a strained PCL injury.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean,
at least it's not
down.
It's
not a tear. That's a good news. Yeah.
So normally, if it's a tear, maybe
forget
season.
It. That's the year.
1 to 3 weeks. So that's not too bad for them. So Saints running back Mark Ingram was quite on the run. 9 carries for 24 yards. But the guy did have 8 catches for 98 yards. Cardinals wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald, still with the team, 6 catches, 87 yards. Tight end Darren Fells, I'm wondering if this guy's for real or not.
For real.
4 for 82 and a touchdown. So
I'll put it this way.
His backup's Jermaine Gresham.
Correct. So. Any receiver, check that, any tight end whose receivers are Larry Fitzgerald, Josh Brown, and
Malcolm Floyd,
thank you. Is going to be a target because they can't cover all of them.
Yep. Running back David Johnson and wide receiver John Brown each had touchdowns. So Saints wide receiver Willie Snead, 63-yard reception. Wide receiver Brandon Coleman, 4 for 41 and a touchdown.
Who are these bleeping guys?
Pretty much. And Marquez Colston, he's 32 now, and he didn't have much to show. So
well, and he's been battling some sort of an injury thing through preseason. So maybe he's still trying to find his groove there. Who knows?
I think last year he was kind of like also wasn't that too impressive. I think last year. So going into the fourth quarter, the Cardinals were up about 17-13. Now to get the win, the Cardinals had 2 touchdown passes to the Saints, 2 field goals. So what I'm wondering is that the current wide receiver tight end course. Is it sufficient for the Saints' offense to succeed?
I would say yes if they can get any ground.
It's early, but it's like, because they also have a C.J. Spiller.
Correct.
So, but
who by the way, like Colson is not on the field yet. Well, I mean Colson's on the field, but he's not on the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyways, the Saints are still trying to complete the transition to be a tougher team. And to come out against the Cardinals first, that's just tough. That's just tough. I had them losing this game anyway. It was closer than the 31-19. The fourth quarter, the Cardinals kind of pulled it away to close the door on it. But, I give the Cardinals credit in the run game. They're down Andre Ellington in that game. Mike Iupati, who they got from the Niners, who would have been their top running blocker if he's in the roster, out for another 5 weeks after this. And they're still deep enough to do their thing, tough enough on the offensive line, and evoking Chris Johnson to get 10 for 37 as well. Right now the Cardinals are just a more complete team than the Saints. It's that simple. I mean, you can't put any better than that. So anyways, speaking of teams who had bad offensive lines in this game, oh, my gosh. Where's the protection? There was none. The only touchdowns scored in this football game were on pick sixes as the Broncos fight and claw their way past the Ravens at home 19-13. Look, both guys, Peyton Manning threw the ball 40 times, went 24 for 40, 175 yards and an interception. Joe Flacco went 18 for 30, 217 yards, both having abysmal numbers. 2 interceptions for Flacco, including the game loser on the day. As a team, the Ravens ran 23 carries for 73 yards. Not a horrible number. The Colts ran 24 for 70. Yards were hard to come by. But when you got them in quality moments in this game, you made the difference. Third down conversion percentage, 2 times Did the Ravens convert third down? 8 times did the Broncos. Your difference right there, because some of those times at least came on a 10-minute, 57-second drive in the fourth quarter by the Broncos. The only time in the game that the Broncos made it to the red zone was during that drive. Yeah, they only came away with a field goal, but it would be enough to propel them to the win. Joe Flacco had a shot to lead his team down the field. He got them into the red zone for the first time in the game on their final drive. Check out the defense at work in this game, boys. The final drive, the final quarter. Both these teams' final drives is the only time they get to the red zone.
That's craziness, especially when you got a guy named Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning! What the bleep is going on here? It's called defense. It's called I miss Ryan Clady. It's called all sorts of protection problems. I mean, I had mentioned, I was on EJ Christian's show, earnestly speaking, to open the season. He and G Steele, we were talking with one friend of this show, Teron Davenport, who covers the Ravens. I said to him, is it brash to go in with a strategy to force Peyton Manning to beat you in the air? And apparently it wasn't. Now, if Flacco hadn't thrown the interception to close up that game, might be a different story. Yeah, I know. It was probably face guarding on that particular play. But the way that ball was lobbed and just thrown up for grabs, it was just a poor throw all the way around. I was not a fan of it. Both teams 0-for-1 in their red zone trips for touchdowns. Time of possession, 22-43, 37, basically 15, no, excuse me, 14 and a half minutes in favor of the Broncos. And one more time, just because it's fun to say it, 10 minutes, 57 seconds in one drive. Peyton manages to stay upright for just long enough in a number of passing attempts to take the Broncos down the field to score what would be the final score of the game with a field goal. Hakeem Talib with a pick six. Jimmy Smith with a pick six. Yeah. Bad. It was a great game to watch, but sloppy on offense. Weasel.
Bad news for the Ravens defense. Terrell Suggs is out for the season.
Achilles tear right there.
Yeah. So that's a big deal.
Pop quiz. Have we seen one Terrell Suggs for the last time in a Ravens uniform? Weasel.
I think the guy, how old is he now?
13 years in.
13 years in. Yeah, I think it's the kind of thing he had a good career. He was there during the Super Bowl.
Correct.
I mean, the guy's had a long career, and I think he had an Achilles tear before.
I believe it was on the other leg.
Yeah, so I would say it's a good time to retire.
Chris.
I'd say yes. Yeah, I think he might be done here.
Yeah, I'm unanimous. It's unfortunate. In week one to have to go out, like, that sucks. I'll leave it at that. At any rate, so the final game on the docket we have here, Seahawks, Rams. All of us knew this would be a close game. We may not have necessarily known that it was going to go into overtime. As the Rams claw their way past the Seahawks at home, 34-31. So it's not that Russell Wilson had a bad game percentage-wise. Weasel, you pointed out many times on the show that Russell Wilson has a good completion percentage. 32 for 31.
Awesome. Whoa.
Percentage. Record-breaking bleep right
100%
there.
100%
above. Boom, he got extra credit. At any rate, no, 32 for 41, 251 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Here's the thing. 32 completions and 251 yards, that's not a lot of movement. That's less than 8 yards per catch. This is the kind of thing that people miss when they hype up Russell Wilson. 8 yards a catch is not enough. Bottom line.
I mean, last year, the guy, he had the talent of his first wide receivers were about middle of the row. Same with tight ends. And this year,
Jimmy Graham.
They got Jimmy Graham, huh?
The day, by the way, in his opening.
Oh, that guy.
Jermaine Kearse is a guy who doesn't get enough dap. He's not a number one receiver, perhaps, in the minds of many, but he did have 8 catches for 76 as well. The Seahawks were 1-for-4 in the red zone. Could have been a difference in this game. 2-for-4 in the red zone, of course, were the Rams. Here's the other thing that's baffling, another statistical anomaly. The Seahawks, only 1 turnover. The Rams allowed 3. And you still lost the football game because you're only moving the ball less than 8 yards a catch. Marshawn Lynch said his job, he carried the ball 18 times for 73 yards, had 5 catches for 31 as well. Russell Wilson had 8 carries for 31 as well. The Rams as a team ran the ball 26 times, only gained 76 yards. But the key factors in this game, first of all, the Rams, Nick Foles, his first regular season game as a Ram coming from the Eagles, in order to set up the, I believe it was a game-winning score, Foles throws a touchdown to Stedman Bailey over one Richard Sherman. No fear. No fear. And Sherman got beat.
Oh, one more time. That was in the end zone?
No, it was not in the end zone.
Okay, because, yeah, there was
a set the field goal.
There was, yeah, it was a deep pass to the right. And, correct. Yeah, I think he jawed a little with him because the thing about Richard
Stedman
Sherman.
Bailey jawed with him a little bit.
Yeah.
You mean, yeah. Because you made it sound like Nick Foles ran all the way down. Yeah! Oh! I'm the best quarterback in the world.
Hey, why not? The guy.
That's not Nick Foles.
He says
style,
he's self proclaimed he's like the best best cornerback in the NFL. And you know he was talking trash to Bailey. So.
Look, when you make a catch like that, after Foles threw a perfect ball and you make a catch like that on Richard Sherman. You at least got to say, nice try, sucker, or something. Something. At this point.
You got to.
I mean, you know.
And
I think
on that pass, too, I think when he got past him, I think he was pulling over to try to grab him or something.
Yeah,
so
there was
he got
some
beat.
Contact there, absolutely. Of course, during the game, Nick Foles also had a running touchdown as well. Anyways, overtime. So, first of all, Seattle's going to kick the ball off. And it looks like an onside kick, which really turns out to be a failed pooch kick. Whatever. I don't know what they were trying to do, but I think Weasel and I agreed before we started the show, it was a dumb play. What do you possibly gain from an onside recovering an onside kick in overtime? I don't know the rule on that. I don't know if that means the other team doesn't get a possession now.
I think the you can go back. I think like in the Super Bowl, you had Saints Sean.
But that
Payton.
Was an overtime. I don't want to hear
was,
about that.
Yeah, it was going in the second half. So I guess a little difference here, but
a lot difference.
I'm pretty
here.
Sure if they did do a onside kick, but in this instance they did not do an onside kick. It was one of the I guess a poocher. I don't know what you call it.
So no, that's what I'm trying to say.
Just kicked it up in the air.
Right. Even if they didn't screw up and do a bad pooch kick, what's even the advantage of doing a pooch kick here? They have one shot, and you're trying to hold them to a field goal, and you have allegedly the NFL's best defense behind you. Why are you not booting the ever-loving beep out of the ball? Hell, you might get a safety and win the game early. What about that? What are you thinking? Hey, Pete Carroll, you still haven't recovered from calling offense in the Super Bowl. And just when he thought he might have 4th and 1, then he decides to run Marshawn Lynch. Hey, dummy, it doesn't work on 4th and 1. They know you're coming there. So on 4th and 1 after the Rams field goal in overtime, Marshawn Lynch crushed in the backfield. Ball game over.
Yeah, I think I forgot to mention it for the Colts game. But
I did not. No, I'm just kidding.
the Colts, talking about the Seahawks with their last play in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. having the kind of like it was like a pick play type of thing. And being intercepted by Malcolm Butler in the Colts game, they did a similar play.
They ran what the Seahawks meant to run in the last game of the Super Bowl and completed it.
And it was like, because what I noticed is that I think it was the Seahawks had in the Super Bowl, two guys stacked up. And you had one in the front, one in the back, and then you had two defensive backs. The Colts, the way they did it is one of the guys was lined up in the slot. So he just did a slant. The other two guys were preoccupied. The guy went behind him into the end zone for a touchdown. But in this instance, it was a 4th and 1. Yeah, they needed at least a field goal, and Lynch got stopped.
You let all the air out of my ball game over and energy right there to remind me of a play that was in a completely different game that didn't matter in the outcome of that game.
It mattered.
That was a failure of the
it
kind of
mattered. I just put the connection with the Seahawks in there. So
because Super Bowl. No, I get it. I'm just making fun of you. Weasel Wheeze.
Yeah, boy.
All right, let's get it. Study hall. Yeah. Actually, why in the hell am I celebrating? I have to get both the Monday night games to go .500. And guess what? So does Chris?
Weasel, what?
Does that mean you're at... But Chris, is Weasel ahead right now?
Yeah, Weasel is ahead by one. Yeah.
Boom. I got to enjoy it while I can.
I quit now. I win.
Because the Lions blew a big lead.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Honestly, the worst pick I think Weasel had, I had no idea why he picked the Steelers. But then again, the Steelers kept it closer than they should have by leaving 13 points on the field. I'm just saying. Let's do it. Chris, first game. Oh, wait.
All right, first game. Yeah. Wait, hold up.
Wait a minute. I just realized something. You have to, you announce it, but Weasel has to pick first. He's in the lead.
Ah, M, number one. Flashback Nelly.
What does it take to be number one? Apparently a lot of luck. And I don't mean the guy on the Colts. Anyways, Chris started off our first game. Weasel started off. This is so weird.
Hey, yeah.
First game, Chris.
You got the Broncos at the Chiefs.
Weasel.
And this should be a lot. This should be a lot easier. But the thing is the Chiefs. I think the offense, of course, got Jamal Charles and Macklin. I think that finally, after I guess it's a 17 no wide receiver touchdown streak.
Correct.
Broncos, I don't know, because they're playing a good defense. So I have the Chiefs winning.
Chris.
Yeah, I think the Broncos offense needs another week of work. But then again, whenever you tell Peyton Manning, you complain about him, he'll come out and prove he'll throw like 7 touchdown passes next week. Just to show that, hey, he still has it and that there's no issues with the Broncos defense. But that I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
I'm going Broncos, not because of the offense, but because of that defense. I just don't see the Broncos defense giving up 100-something passing yards to Travis Kelce. Now, they may give up that many passing yards to Jamal Charles, but whatever. The point is this. Alex Smith will have to throw a touchdown pass to a wide receiver to win this game, and we all know how I feel about his ability to do it. I think J.J. Watt has more passes than that receiver core for the second year in a row. I'm kidding. Maybe. Broncos win this game. Chris.
And next game, you get the Texans at the Panthers.
Weasel.
Panthers haven't been looking that good. So, and then you look at the Texans and their quarterback situation, not looking that good. So, let's see.
No, this is tough.
I'm gonna go with the Panthers.
Okay, Chris.
I'm gonna regret it, but
yeah. You got Ryan Mallett looking like he might start next week. So with the Panthers, they still their offense. I don't think it's all that great. Defense is gonna help them. You don't know the issue with Luke Kuechly because he left with a concussion. You don't know if he's gonna be back or not with the Panthers. So I'm gonna go with Texans.
I'm going Texans because, the Chiefs had more weapons than the Panthers do. I have no reason to believe that they'll be able to complete 20 passes to Greg Olsen. I have the Texans, perhaps against my better judgment. I don't even know. I like Cam Newton. I like J.J. Watt as players, but their teams are both awful at this moment in time. I got the Texans. Next.
You get the Niners at the Steelers.
Weasel.
And if the Steelers have trouble against this defense, hopefully they can get their stuff together because last week they looked lost at times. So it is the Niners. They lost pretty much half their defense to retirement
and stuff.
So I'm gonna take the Steelers.
Chris.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Steelers too.
Yeah, put it all the way around. I know we haven't seen them playing because it's the Monday night game, the late Monday night game here with the Niners and the Vikings. I have no faith. I'm the opposite of George Michael here. Because the Steelers will stop the run. And then what? I got the Steelers. Chris. Or check that. Next.
Yeah, next game, you get the Bucs
at
the Saints.
Weasel.
Ooh. Buster Saints.
Is anybody really going to pick the Bucs here?
I'm actually kind of thinking about it.
Okay,
so.
Break it down.
Huh. Well, the Bucs have a lot to prove, and Winston had a fairly bad game. So at least compared to the guy on the other side. But weapons-wise, I didn't pick Doug Martin for my fantasy team. I guess bitter from a couple years ago. But I'm going to actually go with the Bucks.
I'll be damned. Chris.
Really, I'm going to go with the Saints just because Marcus Mariota tore the Bucs defense apart. What will Drew Brees do with that?
My point exactly. Can't put it any better. Got the Saints. And my mother-in-law's in the next room. I'm just saying. Next.
You got the Lions at the Vikings.
Weasel.
That's a tough one.
And it's because we haven't seen the Vikings yet. Again.
10-20. Yeah. That really stinks. Just saying. But let's see. St. Lions. I'm going to say it's going to be a mid-scoring game. I'd say around the 20s. And squeak by with the Vikings.
Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to go Vikings, even though we haven't seen them play. It looks like Stafford got dinged up with that hit the other day when on his interception. So I don't think his arm's all that great. And then the Vikings offense, I think they're just going to roll Teddy Bridgewater out, and he's going to have a field day against that secondary against the Lions like Phillip Rivers did. So I'm going with Vikings.
I like your explanation there, too. I'm going to add to it. If Stafford is throwing pick sixes, throwing interceptions against the Chargers defense, the Vikings defense is better than that on paper, at least. I have the Vikings as well. Next.
You got the Cards at the Bears.
Weasel.
Cardinals and Bears. Ah, oh, Cardinals.
Yeah.
I was like, wait. I heard the Bears. I'm like, oh, yeah, Cardinals.
Chris.
Yeah, even though the Bears look pretty good against Green Bay didn't play that good of a team, as good as they usually play. I'm going to go Cardinals.
Considering the fact that they don't have enough injuries to slow them down enough yet, I have the Cardinals in this game, too. Next.
You got the Patriots at the Bills.
Weasel.
This is
tough.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, he's got this big grin on his face. He don't know what the hell to do right now. He's like, Kyle, keep talking schmack so I can get time and stall.
I think the Bills, they do have a more well-established defense than the Steelers. And right. I guess I think everybody on the same page and stuff. So they're division rivals. I'm going to go with the Bills.
Okay.
I could really lose a lot of games this week.
Maybe. Chris.
I'm going to go with the Patriots. Rex Ryan's already started talking trash this week against the Patriots. Like, he can go home early. His game plan's already set. He doesn't know who the running back is. Use that. You know, Belichick's going to throw something out against them. I think the Bills will win a game. I actually had to pay winning this game, so this might come up against me. But that was before Brady was playing in. So I'm going to go with the Patriots on this.
You know, The Patriots showed me they can't stop the run. The Patriots showed me that they're not all that great compared to whatever they did, because they barely beat the Steelers with them giving up 13 points leaving 13 points on the field and still only beating the Steelers by 7. And the fact that Rex Ryan has a good record that he does playing against the Patriots as the Jets coach. Yeah, but I'm still picking the Patriots because Gronkowski. Because even the Bills, what you gonna do? Gronk, bitches. Pats. Next game.
You got the Chargers at the Bengals.
Oof.
Chargers.
Weasel. I know you're picking already, hater. Hater. Just say it, hater.
The Bengals, they're looking balanced right now in offense. So.
You're gonna hate.
Let's see.
You're gonna hate.
Let's see. Chargers?
You're gonna hate.
I'll go with the Bengals.
Oh, my gosh. Shock face.
Yeah.
I have to say shock face because we're on the radio. Chris.
I was thinking about the Chargers originally on this, but I'm going to go Bengals just because I think Giovanni Bernard's going to have a good day. So is the other running backs that are there in Cincinnati, since, you know, it is the Chargers defense. I'm going to go Bengals.
You cite Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill. I'll see that and raise you a Tyler Eifert. I have the Bengals.
Next, you got the Titans at the Browns.
Weasel.
Oh, let's see.
This is the game I do not care about this week.
Yeah. Let's see. With quarterback Marcus Mariota.
against Johnny Manziel.
The guy literally he had a perfect quarterback rating last game, which is pretty impressive for a rookie.
Against
but,
the Bucks.
But you said it's against the Browns?
Bucks.
The Bucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Well, no.
No, he had a perfect
against the Browns.
Against the Bucks.
Just one more time.
Marcus Mariota had a perfect passer rating last week.
Against the Bucks, yeah.
Against the Bucks.
And the game now.
The Browns.
Versus?
Against the Browns.
Okay. Yes. I will get the Titans.
Okay. Thank you. Chris.
I was...
No hate. Chris.
I'm going to go with the Browns on this one.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of shocked on it. I think they were over their head. I still don't believe in the Titans. It was the Bucks. So, I mean, if I lose this game, that's fine. And they can show me that they are something. But I still have the Titans going 2-12 or 3-13 this year, whatever that I had them going. So, I got the Browns better record than that. So, I'm going Browns.
I have the Tennessee Titans with their quarterback Marcus Mariota defeating Jamaican quarterback Johnny Manziel. Next game.
You got the Falcons at the Giants.
Weasel. Good God.
Let's see.
They haven't played yet. Well, the Falcons haven't played yet, so that's tough.
I'm not sure if the Giants coaching staff is going to be fired, but but I am I'm going to go with the offense of the Falcons.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I kind of snuck on and saw what the Falcons are doing with the Eagles right now. And they're just manhandling the Eagles. I don't think the offense of the Giants can do anything well right now, so I'm going Falcons.
What concerns me isn't the Giants' offense, it's their defense. I kind of believe in Matt Ryan. He's not my favorite quarterback, but he's just good enough, as I've said, since 2012. I'll go Falcons on this one. Next.
You got the Rams at the Skins.
Weasel.
Rams. Didn't take long.
Okay, everybody's going Rams. Next. By the way,
yeah,
this
Rams.
That was my pick in my survival league, for the record.
Oh, yeah?
All right, with Chris.
Dolphins at the Jags.
Weasel.
I got the Dolphins.
Chris.
I'm going to go Dolphins. I think last week was a fluke because you played down to your competition. And they had to play down to the Skins. They do have the Jags this week, but I'm going to go Dolphins.
The Dolphins continue to play down to their competition, but they do manage to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in the interstate rivalry. Next.
You got the Ravens at the Raiders.
Weasel.
It's tough losing Suggs for the Ravens, but it is the Raiders. So I'll go with the better offense of the Ravens. Ravens
okay.
It is.
Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to go Ravens as well, even though without Terrell Suggs, you'll know Derek Carr's injury, how extended it is if he's got a player or not. So I'm going to go Ravens.
I'm going to go Ravens as well, simply because of the damage they put. Granted, the Broncos have issues on their offensive line, apparently. But I'm going to go with a veteran team against a team dominated by youth. I got the Ravens. Next.
Yeah, the Cowboys at the Eagles.
Weasel.
Good game. DeMarco Murray faces his old team. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Chris.
Well, what was that that
you said? You said Eagles.
I'm going with the Eagles, and something that you know I thought about was that Dez Bryant's out for.
Damn it! You took my reason away.
It was I think it's like four games and
four
broken
to
foot.
4 to 6.
4 to 6.
Yeah.
4 to 6 weeks. Right.
His number one wide receiver, someone who I picked up in fantasy football, Terrence Williams, he's more of a like a big play threat. So
who says we don't talk fantasy on this show?
Hey, it's it has to do with it when you're picking teams. So.
Boom.
But yeah, I think that's
Eagles.
Still going Eagles.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to go Eagles as well, just because DeMarco Murray against his old team. I think they might try to get him to run the ball some more. And so I'm going to go Eagles.
I'm going to go. Oh man. No, I can't do it. I'm going to go Cowboys because that O-line. They're going to keep that Eagles offense off the field, and the Cowboys are going to run and or check down their way to victory in probably a similar fashion to what they did to the Giants on Sunday night. I got the Cowboys.
All right, next game, you got the Seahawks at the Packers.
Weasel. I know, right?
Let's see. See, Aaron Rodgers, his weapons are kind of down right now, but he still got Cobb, so it came together for the offense. So I'll pick the Packers.
Chris.
His weapons are down. He got James Jones back, who looks like he didn't miss a step after he's gone for a year. But with that, I'm gonna go Seahawks. I picked this one earlier in the year or in the preseason that the Seahawks would win them because it's going to be another matchup again in the playoffs, and I'll have the Packers win the playoff game. So I got the Seahawks.
I have the Seahawks in this game as well because the Packers don't have enough defense in this particular case. And, yeah, it's that simple. Next.
And then Monday night, you get the Jets at the Colts.
God. Weasel.
Jets at the Colts. I'm going to go the Colts. I think the Colts, their offense is a little bit mad. So, yeah. They kind of got embarrassed. And they still got that guy running, Andrew Luck. So, going with the Colts.
Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Colts as well. I think the Jets, they just look pretty good because it was against the Browns. But even though the Colts don't have T.Y. Hilton, they still got Andre Johnson, still got Moncrief, they still got Dwayne Allen, they still have Kobe Fleener. And they also have Frank Gore. Maybe they'll utilize Frank Gore this week a little more against the Jets. So I'm going to go to the Colts.
Yeah, I got the Colts as well just because I'm not brave enough to pick the Jets. It's that simple. And that was Monday night. That'll wrap it up for our picks. That'll wrap it up for the student of the game. So, of course, check out the website, ngscsports.com. Find Weasel on Twitter at Weasel, the SOTG. Find Chris on Twitter at Hydraulic Upright, UPRITE. Of course, hey, with four missed extra points, it's kind of like there was a Hydraulic Upright on the field. I'm just saying.
There are four missed extra points?
Four. Missed extra points.
Wow.
I thought there might be one. No, that was four. Jeez. Missed extra points.
I don't,
guess that extra 10 yards or so mattered.
I don't think it's going to happen. It didn't happen this week, but there is going to be a game where it's going to be like 24 to 23. Kick the extra point to tie it up.
And we're
taking
gonna
it
go
overtime.
Into overtime. Oh, my God.
Yep. It's going to happen. What week? I'm giving it 2 weeks.
So week three. Okay. We'll revisit at that time. But yeah, Hydraulic Uprights making the kickers miss. And that is also Chris' Twitter handle. Boom. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at the SOTG. And of course, check out the NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Search NGSC Sports on YouTube and you'll find the channel where the latest edition of the Sports Symposium is up. Good time all the way there. A little bit of discussion on fantasy football and its impact on the civilization of the sport, if you will. But yeah, until next time, everybody, class.